Dear listeners, I welcome you to this audio lecture which is part of BA English course in Dr. B.R. Ambedkar Open University. This lesson is part of BA English 3rd year 5th semester. The title of this course is Women's Writing in English, which is a discipline-specific elective course for BA. We have 5 blocks and 15 units in this course. Today, we will discuss Block 2, Subverting the Canon. In this block, we will talk about Unit 6 with the title The Other Worlds. Today, we will discuss about why travel writing by women is important and how women travelers write to go beyond the gender boundaries. And we will explore travel writing by a few women writers. And travel narratives by black women will also be talked about. And then we will talk about early travel writing by Indian women. So let's start. In this unit, we will analyze the other worlds which women writers have explored through their works. These works inhabited maybe physical, that is, they could relate to women moving beyond the confines and security of the domestic or household to explore new territories, or they can also be metaphorical, where alternate worlds with different socio-cultural norms have been imagined. So they could be physical, where they are actually physically moving from one place to another place, or they can also be metaphorical, where it's just a imaginative fiction. Mary Morris explores the dynamic relationship between travel and writing in her introduction to Maiden Voyages. She quotes a writer who says, there are only 2 plots in all of literature. Either you go on a journey or a stranger comes to town. So these are the 2 major themes of all literature. Since women for many years were denied the journey, they couldn't go out. So the only option that was left to them was to wait for the stranger. Compared to male novelists, one finds the picaresque tradition largely absent among women novelists, except perhaps in the later part of the 20th century. Most of you might already be aware of what picaresque fiction is, but just for the convenience of everybody, let me define what picaresque is. Picaresque fiction is one where the adventures of a hero, who is usually a rogue, are described in a series of humorous or satiric episodes, which are realistic in nature. Now, these episodes usually talk about the everyday life of common people. Elaine Showalter comments on this phenomenon in her critical volume, A Literature of Her Own. Denied participation in public life, women were forced to cultivate their feelings and to overvalue romance. Emotions rushed in to fill the vacuum of experience. So, for women, emotions took the forefront to fill the vacuum that was created by lack of experience or the travel experience. If we examine the history of the exclusion of women from the canon of great writers, one of the very oftenly cited reasons was that many of the works did not have the wealth or diversity of experience which was there in male writing. Now, why do you think this is? This is because women were not allowed to go out. When they were not allowed to go out, their experience of traveling was very little. Now, when the experience is very little, what are they going to write about? On the contrary, males always went outside. They traveled wherever they want, whenever they want, and took trips and everything. So they had much vaster experience of traveling, and their writings had more variety. In fact, this was something women writers did not have any control over. For centuries, it was frowned upon for women to travel without an escort or a chaperone. Now, who is a chaperone? Chaperone is a person who attends an event or a trip to supervise others. Typically, in the olden days, an older woman who supervises a young girl in social occasions to ensure that she remains moral. So, it was very rare for women to go out without a chaperone. On the other hand, men did not face the same dilemma. They could go wherever they want without anyone supervising them. This does not mean that there weren't women who tried to escape and traveled to find themselves. So some did travel. But in patriarchal societies where adventure and evasion of domestic responsibilities were considered normal for men and not for women, women who tried to run away from home had to face greater stigma, greater problems with the society. When it comes to leaving accounts of their travel, women had to face greater obstacles. Yet, many British upper middle class women started writing about their travels abroad from the 18th century onwards. Travelogues by Lady Montagu, Mary Wollstonecraft, and Mary Kingsley are also some of the examples of this kind of writing. When women started writing about their travels, they faced a unique dilemma of how to write in a genre which was closely related with masculinity, like adventure fiction. Until well into the 20th century, travel writing was very often defined as a masculine domain, a showcase for contemporary norms of masculinity and heroism. They were not a feminine domain. The masculine tradition of travel writing was considered to reflect public and professional concerns, whereas the feminine tradition was considered to fall into the private and personal sphere. Consequently, when women wrote about their travel experiences, an awareness that they might be judged often dictated the topics they addressed. So women always had the stigma that they were actually not very experienced in traveling. So the far and few between women who have actually traveled and then they attempted to write their travel experiences, they had the stigma and awareness that they might be judged by others. Now, when we say others, these others are usually males. They might be judged by the males because they would think women have written without any experience of travel or with a very little experience of travel. So the quality of their work was not that good. That was the impression of the male counterparts. For instance, Eliza Fay, a British woman traveler to India, admitted that the reason she chose the epistolary form. What's an epistolary form? A form of fiction written in the form of letters. Epistolary form to record her travels was because it was the most unassuming of all kinds of writing and was likely to be received with peculiar mercy and forbearance by her readers. So you can see that the reason why she wrote was that it was the most unassuming kind of writing that she could ever do. There were writers who tried to get around the gendered expectations, like Mary Kingsley. She allied herself with the masculine tradition of producing scientific research, which challenged the stereotypes of women travelers interested only in recording emotional responses. Instead of the emotional responses, Mary Kingsley worked on producing scientific research. So she was a revolutionary in a way. Yet she was well aware of the social expectations. It's not like that she was away from social expectations. She knew what the social expectations are, but still she went against the grain, and then she did not bend to the social expectations of women writing only or recording only their emotional responses in their works. Instead, she wrote about scientific research. At times, women travelers tried to flaunt their authority on experiences that were not available to the average male reader. For instance, Lady Mary Wortley Montagu's Turkish Embassy Letters record her experiences of visiting Constantinople along with her husband, who was a British diplomat. In this work, among other things, she gives an account of the life of Turkish women in the Ottoman harem, a subject that was of great interest to Western audience. Why was this a subject of great interest to Western audience? Because in the Ottoman harem, males were not allowed. So they couldn't know what was going on inside Ottoman harem. So as a woman, she went inside and then she recorded her experiences. Another early women's travelogue that challenged the notions associated with women's travel and in turn masculinity and femininity was Mary Wollstonecraft's Letters Written During a Short Residence in Sweden, Norway and Denmark. Wollstonecraft's letters were addressed to Gilbert Imlay, her common law husband, who has deserted her and their one-year-old daughter. Wollstonecraft made the trip to the lesser-known Scandinavian countries in a futile attempt to trace the whereabouts of a merchant ship belonging to Imlay. So she went in search of her husband who left her, hoping her brave efforts would help them reconcile. The story she narrates in her letters is about a deserted woman traveling through Scandinavia alone with her one-year-old daughter and her maid, struggling with the uncomfortable conditions of traveling in the 18th century, with the restrictions and the considerations forced upon her as a woman and a single mother. and not the least personal troubles and political troubles also. So you can see what kind of travelogues or travel related work that was done by English women. Now let's turn to a different flavor of travel narratives. Let's turn to travel narratives written by black women. Well, accounts of travel by white women travelers have explored the gendered nature and reception to travel. Travel accounts by black women, on the other hand, including the category of slave narratives, have changed the way travel was defined. For a long time, a traveling subjectivity was not even available to black women, who were often portrayed as mute slaves who took care of white women or acted as nannies to white children. So their basic purpose was supposed to be being mute slaves and then taking care of being nannies to white children and then taking care of the white families. So they did not even have a chance of traveling anywhere. For white women travelers, travel was often a privilege that set them outside the bounds of the domestic sphere to which they were associated in a discourse of femininity. On the other hand, for black women who ran away from captivity, travel was a means of survival and the only way to affirm their rights as human beings. So you can see the difference between how the travel between white women versus the black women are here. White women traveled basically for, you know, it was a privilege for them. They said they went outside of the bounds of the domestic sphere and into the public sphere. On the other hand, for black women, it was a question of survival because they were slaves and then they ran away from captivity. So travel was from one place to another place is a matter of survival for them, not a matter of privilege. While slave narratives by men are more common, those by women have added to the depth of the genre. For instance, the mid-19th slave century, Harriet Jacobs, Incidents in the Life of a Slave Girl, is a work that redefines what it means by home and mobility. In this narrative, Jacobs reveals the particular ways enslavement affected girls and women and showed how racism and misogyny intersected to shape the experiences and choices of enslaved women. So she wrote about slaved women or women who were slaves and then their experiences and how racism has shaped their experiences. However, this wasn't the case with all black American women. A black American woman traveler who was able to travel abroad and publish an account of her adventures was Nancy Prince. She was born as a free black person in Massachusetts and she wrote her narrative, A Black Woman's Odyssey Through Russia and Jamaica in 1850. Her work is a unique opportunity to examine 19th century racial and gender constructs through the eyes of someone who felt the effects of such oppressive social practices. So this is from the oppressed side. And yet, Prince's narrative is not about being oppressed, but is instead a journey of self-discovery and self-fulfillment. Such travel accounts of black women unearthed in the recent decades complicate the mainstream narrative of black women as mere traveling companions to white women. So as we have seen, the travel accounts of black women are completely different from the travel accounts of the white women because of the motivation for writing these travelogues or travel accounts. Now let's quickly talk about travel accounts by Indian women. Travel accounts by Indian women in the 19th century similarly gave rise to the commonly held assumptions that Indian women only traveled as companions to their husbands. Accounts of travel by Indian women become available from the mid-19th century. Bellying stereotypes about Muslim women, Hajj accounts of Begums of Bhopal, Nawab Sikandar Begum and her granddaughter Sultan Jahan were published in the span of the century. In 1863, Sikandar Begum became the first Indian monarch to perform Hajj. She was accompanied by about 1,000 people, mostly women. Sikandar wrote a memoir of her trip in Urdu and an English translation was published in 1870. This was also the time when travels to Europe and United States became fairly common for upper middle class Indians who were at times accompanied by their wives. Yet, it were mostly the men who wrote travel accounts. At the same time, there were Indian women who traveled abroad by themselves in professional capacities and left accounts of their observations of foreign lands, including the well-known social reformer Pandita Ramabai, who visited both England and the United States, and Cornelia Surabji, India's first female barrister who visited England and several European countries. Travel writing by women has increased by leaps and bounds in the 20th and 21st centuries with the advent of travel blogs and guides. For example, Janhvi Acharekar, Anjali Thomas have published travel accounts which have widened the scope of women's travel writing in India. While these travel accounts were about physical travels, there have also been women writers who have imagined alternate worlds centered on women's experiences. These worlds have been both utopian and dystopian. What is utopian? A utopian place is where everything is perfect and in an idealistic state. Nothing goes wrong in a utopia. Dystopian is the opposite of utopian. In a dystopia, there is great suffering and injustice. For example, Herald by Charlotte Perkins Gilman is a first feminist utopia where an ideal social order has been created by women free of war, conflict and domination. So slowly we are coming into other lands. So until now we've talked about women writing about their real travel experiences, their travel accounts, about their physical travels. They physically traveled from one place to another place. But slowly now we are talking about utopian and dystopian travel work by women where they are imagining things. So this is actually fiction. Closer to home, Sultana's Dream by Rokeya Shokawat Hussain is a science fiction based short story which presents another feminist utopia called Ladyland. As opposed to such utopias, there have also been women writers who have imagined dystopian futures where certain casually held attitudes about women in contemporary society have been taken to their logical conclusions. The Handmaid's Tale by Margaret Atwood imagines a dystopian future when women of today have lost their rights and live lives of sexual and mental slavery in a patriarchal theocracy. So let us quickly sum up what we have learned in this unit. Travel and writing about it has involved a number of challenges for women. First was the difference in terms of gendered expectations, where men were expected to go out in search of adventure or work, while the women had to wait at home and turn into men to return to. Yet, there were women who broke the habits of custom and travelled all around the world. Writing about travel involved for women another kind of transgression, as they were trying their hand at a genre that was very masculine, defined by masculine norms. Women travellers tried to challenge male norms, be they of authority or aesthetics, through their accounts. For a long time, it was believed that only white women travelled. Black women were considered as nannies or companions as their mistresses donned the role of travellers. However, recent research has shown that a number of black women also travelled and their accounts have questioned the categories of gender and race and redefined mobility. Travel accounts by Indian women in the 19th century who take on strong travelling subjectivities similarly give light to the commonly held assumptions that Indian women only travelled as companions to their husbands. Along with physical travel, we've also looked at how there have been attempts by women writers to imagine alternate worlds inhabited by women. So that's where we talked about utopian fiction and then dystopian fiction by women. With this, we come to the end of Unit 6, The Other Worlds. Thank you.